Welcome to the Fearless and Successful podcast, brought to you by Coach D. That is me, and it is designed for changemakers just like you. I am an international success and business coach, and I love supporting you on your journey to ultimate health, happiness, and freedom. I obsess on all things mindset mastery and business strategy that allow you to design the life on your own terms. This podcast will be led through my three P's: productivity, purpose, and profit. And I will do my best to bring you the industry leaders on these topics. And I am also going to provide you with solo episodes where I'm going to talk about these three P's. If you are ready to dream big, plan for success, and impact the world, let's get this party started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to another Fearless and Successful podcast. We have a special guest coming all the way from Vancouver, which is pretty late there, an early morning in Stockholm. But I just want to say welcome to the show, Sam Tiara. We are so grateful to have you.
Oh, thank you, Deanna. And it's a pleasure to be here. And I just hope that I'm able to share and be able to provide some insights to your listeners.
Yes, and I want to start with your middle name, which is Ajit, Sam Ajit Tiara. And I didn't know that. One of my mentors and really like people who inspired me to be a coach is Ajit Navalka, co-founder of EverCoach. And tell us, like, what does mean Ajit?
Yeah, so the name actually means unconquerable and a winner. So I think the name is very fitting for where I am in life, because I find that I embrace challenges. I thrive in ambiguity and uncertainty. And it's more of, I focus on it as a challenge, and that I like to claim things as a victory, not from a cocky standpoint of how great I am, but just more the challenge for myself to say, I can do this and I will do this.
Hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I just want to, like, beyond official titles and everything, but you are today someone who is like really speaking around the world, inspiring people. You're an educator, mentor, coach, entrepreneur, storyteller, and community activator. So tell us, like, what it takes to come so far in a place where you just feel so humble, but yet, like, yeah, I am here to do some great stuff.
I think for me, it was a transition piece, because I think a big part of my life in the beginning was always on the aspect of what. In other words, you know, in university, what am I going to do? And then after you graduate, what is my job going to be? And what areas am I going to be? And I found that it limited me. And when I started shifting the focus from what to who I am, clarity started to happen. And the clarity became a situation where I realized I wasn't in the right place, and I had to leap and jump into a new realm. And as a result of it, that's guided me, because years ago, when I was in the corporate world, I never saw myself as an author, mentor, storyteller, any of these things. But when I started focusing on who I am, all of these words started to make sense. And then I left the corporate world behind me. I shed that coat and I put on something bright, vibrant, and it's brought me to who I am today and getting to do all of those amazing things. And it made me realize that, you know, there's much that I've gained on my journey. And part of the reason I've gained all this on my journey is these are things that I need to now share with people, because these are insights that have been provided to me. Things like obstacles. And it made me realize that obstacles are the necessary bricks on my road to success. It told me not to fear the obstacles, embrace them, learn from them, because those obstacles have enabled me to be who I am today.
Yes. I just love how with ease you say, like, you know, because people are,
sometimes they are discouraged by obstacles and they fear obstacles and they're like, you know, it cripples them. And yet we know that this is where growth comes, right? From conquering those obstacles. Would you share where you felt like in your life or in your career where you felt like really afraid, but you did it, you leaped away and it became like such a great gift?
Wow. So many different times in my life that's happened. I think a lot of people struggle with this is when I graduated from university, and here I graduated with business and political science, and this thought and idea that, okay, with that, what an amazing combination, who's lucky to get me? And I was at graduation and, you know, thinking this, and I walked across the stage, shook the hands of the dignitaries. I walked off the stage, but this giant virtual door seemed to slam behind me because everything familiar to me was behind that door. But when I went and sat down, I said, okay, now I'm going to move forward. And I said, okay, I'm going to have to apply for some jobs. And this is where the what happened, because I was thinking, what am I going to apply for? And I wasn't too sure, but I thought maybe an entry-level government job, working in a bank, working as a management consultant. I started applying for jobs. And the interesting thing is, back then, you had to write your letter or type your letter because there was no internet. That's how old I am. And I sent out about 12 letters thinking, okay, who's lucky to get me? About a week and a half, 2 weeks later, a letter arrived from one of the companies. And I opened it up and it said, sorry, we don't have a job for you. And we're not sure what job you're looking for, but good luck. I thought, that's okay. You're not lucky to get me. But I have 11 letters out there. And you know what? I'm going to send 3 more out today. But here's the thing. The more letters I sent out, the more letters started coming back. And it was like the tide. The more you send out, the more that comes back. And over the year, it was difficult because, you know, I have in my hand 86 rejection letters from companies who said, we don't know who you are. What are you looking for? But good luck. And, you know, for your listeners who may be from an audio perspective, I'm holding letters that actually are about the size of a brick. Every single letter was a nail in my coffin of self-confidence. It told me that I was not prepared. And as a result of it, it was like, you know, it was a difficult time. But I thought to myself, I have to keep going and I will keep going. And all of a sudden the focus shifted from, you know, who's lucky to get me to, am I lucky to get a job? But I got a job. Finally, entry-level government knocked on my door. So for the first, you know, job, I was a janitor mopping floors in a hospital, emptying rubbish bins and mopping floors. But I went into that job, and this is where it goes back to your question. I never went into that job saying, poor me, or this is a terrible situation. I said, I've got something, I've got a toehold in something right now. I am going into this, and I learned 3 valuable life lessons as a result of being a janitor. The first lesson, my father said, I don't care what you do, you make sure you do the best job possible because your reputation is on the line. Deanna, that carries me to who I am today. I put quality in everything that I do. The second valuable lesson, there were times I would get on an elevator with nurses, doctors, and administrators, and I'd be ignored because you're a janitor. We have nothing in common. It made me realize I will never treat people like this. I will talk to everybody because everybody has a story. And the third valuable lesson is, instead of dwelling on this as a negative, I ventured forward saying, I have an opportunity to learn here. And when you peel that onion away, there are lessons to be learned in anything that we embrace and anything that we do. Those foundational pieces have enabled me to become who I am today, but I had to go in with an open mind. And the reflection I have on this is, if one of those letters would have materialized, I wouldn't be with you today. My life would have gone in a different direction. And equally at the same time, I look at those letters, many of those companies no longer exist. I still do. I outlasted those companies. We are resilient and we will outlast, but you have to go in with an open mind, a learning mentality and attitude, and the quality of work that you have to do no matter what's given to you. This is how I've overcome obstacles.
Oh my goodness. You know what, Sam? Like, this is a drop mic. We can just stop here because you shared such a valuable lesson with me, with us, with my listeners. I'm just so connected right now with you because it's a part of my story as well. Well, I didn't get, got 86 letters or I got, so when I moved to Sweden 8 years ago, I applied for 2,800 jobs. I got 5 rejections and I was bummed. And once I pick up the phone and I said, what's wrong with you people? Like, I have so many qualifications. Like, why? And they simply said, you don't speak the language. I was like, wow. That was like really, really hard for me because kind of when I was a kid, I'm a migrant kid. And that was a story, like repetition of my childhood. You don't speak the language, you don't speak it. And once adult, a really highly qualified adult, they tell you, you're back in this childhood position. You don't speak the language. It was like such a backset. But yes, who I am today, that was like, that made me that rejection. And I went to clean for a year. I needed to provide for my family. I was like, that was the year that really made me who I am today. Being grateful and finding, like you said, finding lessons instead of like really dwelling and saying like, why is this happening to me? Instead of like really seeing the opportunity in that. And I learned language because I spent time with native Swedish people who wanted me to learn language and they didn't want to speak English with me. So that was like kind of a really awesome thing. So I love
beautiful.
Because some people like really want to see negative in situation instead of like focusing on what's good in here. Because there is always, and I'm not trying to say like there's always a positive line, like silver line, but it is when you decide to focus on that, right?
Yeah, no, it's always the case. And you have to go in with an open mind. You'd be amazed at what you could capture, but I just find a lot of people are on autopilot and they are just going in one direction. And I always say, no, let's change it up. Let's talk. Let me know what makes you tick. What are you interested in? And then we start talking and having these conversations. And you suddenly realize that the way I describe it is they're on a train and they're going to a destination. They're only focused on a destination. The journey is the most beautiful part. And what amazes me is they're not even on the right train. And I'm saying, okay, if you're interested, let's get off at the next stop. And let's get on the right train for you.
That's the point. That's the point. I love it how you said it. So today, if we would say like, okay, so you obviously overcome some great challenges as a father, as an entrepreneur and all this good stuff. So what would you say that you see like an instant when you are coaching someone, or you are mentoring someone, what would you say like there is a biggest challenge that humanity is experiencing right now?
Again, I personally think it's that society creates a narrative. And I talked about it in my second TEDx speech where I said, you know, there's a narrative we've all lived. When we were in preschool or kindergarten, even in early development age, people would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And we pick these honorable jobs. I want to be a doctor, an astronaut, a teacher. But what happened? We start going through and practicality set in. And next thing you know, we're sitting at graduation going like, I have no idea what direction I'm going. I have no idea what is interesting to me. And it's because we're so focused on what. And I sit with people to help them realize, who are you? I mean, when I teach my class in organizational behavior, I make every single student write a personal statement. A personal statement is, how would you introduce yourself to me, but not in a running resume format? Tell me who you are. So for example, if you and I were to meet at an event and you said, Sam, tell me, who is Sam? I would say, there are five things that guide and direct me in life: servant leadership, story sharing, activator igniter, champion enabler, and community do-gooder. Those five things have enabled me to help individuals, teams, organizations, educational institutions, and nonprofits to be their pinnacle best. But it's also enabled me to be a speaker, storyteller, a mentor, coach, an author, entrepreneur, educator, and community activator. I've captured it as, this is who I am. But here's the best part is, as a result of knowing who I am, there's clarity, because then I know what I want to do because I've taken that part, as opposed to the other way around of just doing stuff and feeling, does it fit, doesn't it fit, but not realizing why. So I really like to work with people to say, let's figure out who you are, what are you not willing to compromise, and then let's see if the career fits. And if it doesn't fit, or maybe we're missing components, how do we get you to something that's more fulfilling?
Oh, wow. That's so, so good. Your words are just so, so divine and so beautiful. No wonder you are such a great storyteller and speaker.
Thank you.
I love what you said, like, who am I, instead of like, what do I do? Because I think that sometimes it's just, we are in this, I don't know if this is what you also hear, like, we're in this hustle mentality, we have to do these certain things, whether that's because of our parents or society or whatever. And people get trapped into who they are, what they need to do instead of who they are. So, but going back to our core existence, we are human beings and not human doings, right? It's just so backward. And I just love how you said it.
Well, and to that point as well, Deanna, I mean, I always say my role is to activate the voice within to be louder than the noise around. Exactly to what you've just said, because if you don't know who you are, people will define who you are. People will then say, you should do this, you should be this. And you're set on a journey. And I've talked to even senior people in organizations. So one of the things I do from a coaching perspective is I say, what are the five things that you are not willing to compromise in life and career? Not career, but life and career. And I gave you my five, which is the servant leadership, story sharing, activator igniter, champion enabler, and community do-gooder. And what I ask people to do is start telling me or sharing with me, what are you not willing to compromise? And there's a way that we do this. I say, tell me about your job or the jobs you've had. What did you like about them? What is it that you don't like about it, but why? What about when you were in school? What courses did you do? What did you like and didn't like? Why? And what about, what do you like to do in your spare time? Why? And we start pulling words. Now there's people would have fear as they suddenly say, okay, wait, you're making me pick things. What if I don't pick the right words? I'm like, you have to pick five things that resonate with you right now. And as you go on your journey, as you experience more things in life, change the words. And mine have changed. Equally at the same time, think of it this way: to build a life, you need a solid foundation. I mean, we build houses with solid foundations. We get an inspector in to make sure the solid foundation is there. When have we made this in our life? The whole idea behind it is coming up with the word why. Why is this important to me? And when I've done this, people have said, well, okay, one of the words is family. said, okay, why is family important to you? It's the relationships and connectedness that I have with the people, you know, the ones that are closest to me, which is my family. And I said, relationships and connectedness, that does that also apply to your work environment? And they're like, oh, absolutely. Does this also apply in your social setting? Oh, absolutely. So I said, maybe instead of family, it's relationship and connectedness is one of your words or one of your values. And they're like, oh, okay, I get this. But now, once you have those five things, any opportunities, you now balance it against those five things and say, does it hit 5 out of 5? When it hits 5 out of 5, you have fulfillment. I only will take things that hit 5 out of 5, and it doesn't feel like work. These are things I get to do, and I have so much fun.
Oh my goodness, this is such a great framework. So guys, like, this is the action that I want you to take, and probably Sam would be thrilled to see you guys like really taking action. So go back like 3 minutes, go back and listen again the framework that he teaches, like who am I and five things that really fulfills you, or you think that, and don't be stuck. No. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Because I know that mm-hmm. our mind wants to trip us and wants ego wants to jump in, but really like connect with within and just the declare who you are. And yeah, I would love for you guys to share this with us. Where is the best place for you, Sam, to connect with people?
I mean, LinkedIn is there. My website is also available, and it's just sam-thiara.com. And I've got about 180 blog posts there of all of these experiences and life. I also have 2 TEDx's, and the 5 core elements piece, which is what I just shared, that's actually part of my 2nd TEDx that I did. And if you just go to YouTube and type my name in there, you'll see the TEDx's that I've done, which provides that foundational piece of the 5 core elements or storytelling. And that's the other part of my life as well.
Oh, love that. We're all linking kind of everything in the show notes. But really, guys, if you have a takeaway and you want to share with Sam your core principles, your core values, share that with Sam. And you can also share with me over on Instagram. You can tag me and say, hey, this is what I got from Sam. I will make sure that Sam gets to the message. Because I think it's so important for us and you're such a giver, you're like, I see like this light, you want to share your knowledge, you want to share your wisdom and the gifts that you have been given. But we also want to make sure that we receive that back. So takeaways and feedbacks are so important for people like you who are making a difference in this world.
Oh no, definitely. I also like to share with individuals that they go through life, and again, they don't realize their potential, and they don't realize the significance that they hold in life. And I always say, and this one came out of my first TEDx speech, but I just basically said, you know, I give away puzzle pieces. So I hold puzzle pieces and a single piece, and I give it to people. And I say, what can you do with one piece? And they look at me and they say, not much, it's just one piece. Deanna, this is what people feel like. They feel like that single piece of a jigsaw puzzle. They don't know where they fit in. They don't know the bigger picture. But I transform it from ordinary into something truly extraordinary. Because instead of the single piece, I hold a satchel with puzzle pieces. If I give you a piece of my jigsaw puzzle, do you realize my puzzle will never be complete without you? Do you realize how important you are to my puzzle? It's a reminder I give people, because I think sometimes we forget how important we are. And the beauty of this is I've given about 5,000 pieces in the world to date to remind people how important they are. They tell me that that puzzle piece is taped to their mirror, and every morning they wake up, it reminds them someone said that they were important. It's in backpacks and traveled around the world. It's in curio boxes. It's in wallets, and they see me at an event, and then they show me that they still have it. I give them out to my students in class on the very last lecture. I also have had people who have gone through really difficult, challenging times in their life. In the deepest, darkest moments, they said, I saw that puzzle piece and it reminded me I'm connected to you. And it just was that little bit of reassurance that I needed to help me get and ignite, to get out of that doldrum where I was. It's just a simple reminder to your audience to say, you are part of someone's puzzle. You are part of something bigger, and appreciate the fact that you have much to contribute.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's so beautiful. Like, you know, something, this resonates on so many levels. What you say, like, and back to the whole thing, like we are so connected. Even now it seems like we are disconnected, but we are more connected than ever. Like, and as you said, like back to the, you know, where we started, if you wouldn't be that janitor, there was no way that we would have this conversation. And really, like, thinking that every moment in your life really happens for a reason, and there are no coincidences, there are just synchronicities in life. Wow, yeah. What a gift for my morning. Like, woo, starting with such a great energy and such a gift, like really appreciating life, appreciating you, Sam, for really sharing not just, you know, knowledge, but deep wisdom of life. It's super, 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 super amazing. Was there, before we wrap up, is there anything else that I forgot to ask you, or you would, I'm dying to share this.
I think one thing that I would like to share with your audience is, I mean, the realization is we've gone through a lot with COVID, and every single person in this world has been impacted by it. I came up with an acronym that I share with people that I say there is a need for us to care right now. And what I mean by care is collaboration, adaptability, resilience, and empathy. Collaboration, we all have something to offer. Instead of holding it, let's share it. So collaborate. What is it that I can support so-and-so and they can support me? Adaptability is this need to actually embrace the ambiguity and uncertainty, and don't be afraid to make some shifts and changes. You never know how things will improve, but be adaptable. Resilience is, this isn't over today or tomorrow or next week. We're in a marathon. Build the resilience into your life to say, how can I maneuver through this and make my way through this and become even stronger as a result of this? And finally, empathy. Empathy is showing care and compassion to the people around you, because you don't know what people are going through. Try to understand if somebody's not in a good mood, that maybe there's something going on in their life. Let's show more empathy as well. But for right now, there's a need for us to care.
I'm going to take that. So, so good. Well, Sam, we're going to, you know, link all the TEDx, your blog post, your website, and obviously your LinkedIn connection. Is there anything else that you would love people to take away? Like, you can connect here, or this is my book, right?
Yeah. So I wrote a book. Well, I've got two books. One's on personal storytelling, and the other book is about my journey to India to find my ancestral roots, which we were disconnected from. For a few generations. And all I had was a faded photograph, very little information. And I went in search, but I also needed to find my own identity as a British-born Canadian with parents from Fiji Islands and grandfathers from India. Who am I? So the book is called Lost and Found, Seeking the Past and Finding Myself. It's a beautiful story about a journey to reconnect with the ancestral roots and my own personal identity. It's a book that I really feel is one that I would love to share with people as well. So there's that. And, you know, it's also the personal storytelling book is about helping people write their own narratives and share their own stories. We're all storytellers.
Oh, so beautiful. Yeah, definitely. That, I think that people oftentimes, like the jigsaw, right? They don't think that they fit, and they don't think that they matter, but every story matter, like every life in this world, in this, you know, energy in this universe is is important. So I'm gonna definitely get the book. I'm just so enlightened and just would love to just know more about you and your story. And guys, if you would love to know, we'll link that as well. And I really hope that you guys connect with Sam, because it's such a, I'm seeing you, like, he's such a light, just beaming light. It's so, so beautiful. So thank you so much for being guest and sharing so much wisdom.
Well, thank you, Deanna. And I leave my quote that I live by to your audience members. And the quote I live by is, everyone's life is an autobiography. Make yours worth reading. We are all living stories. We all have something to contribute to the world. Go out and be just great.
Yes. Okay, you fearless people, go out and be great. That's the message for today. Thank you, Sam. We speak soon.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Thank you so much, Fearless Soul, for taking the time to jump in today and listen to this episode. I know your time is the most valuable asset, so I don't take this lightly. As a sign of appreciation, I would love to give you free access to my 21-day Mindset Mastery and Business Strategy program. All you need to do is take a screenshot of this episode and tag me in EG Stories. Until next time, dreamer. Mwah.